What is the UK's problem with major record companies? And when will songwriters stop getting screwed by streaming? Welcome to Music Business Worldwide's Talking Trends, a podcast that goes behind the headlines to ensure you understand what's really going on in today's music industry. Talking Trends is once again supported by Volley Music, a new financial management platform for the music business shaped by industry professionals. Volley allows you to easily manage a tour's budgets and forecasts, as well as tracking expenses, approving invoices, and making payments 24/7. For your free trial, head to volleymusic.com. That's V-O-L-Y music.com. Let's get down to business. Once again on Talking Trends, we'll be discussing two major recent headlines in the music industry. I'm Louise Porter, and with me is Tim Engham, founder and publisher of Music Business Worldwide. Our first story this week takes us to London, where the major record companies are getting a rough ride from local competition watchdogs. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, announced that it is launching a so-called market study into streaming, and its crosshairs seem to be locked onto the majors. Tim, what's going on and what's the context behind this?
So to fully understand the hot water the major record companies are in the United Kingdom right now, we need to go back to July this year when a UK parliamentary committee published a report following an investigation into what it called the economics of streaming in the market. There'll be a bit of jargon in what I talk about here, but I'll try and keep it as simple as I can. So you've got a committee that have looked into music streaming in the UK. That committee is filled with politicians and they've created a report at the end of it. At various points during that investigation, it became obvious that the whole shebang was being driven by politicians who thought very little of the major record companies and the market power that those record companies wield. This was evidenced when the three heads of the UK majors, David Joseph at Universal Music, Jason Eiley at Sony Music, and Tony Harlow at Warner Music, were collectively interviewed live on camera by these politicians as part of the process. And that Q&A infamously descended into pantomime, with the three executives treated with evident kind of disdain by these politicians. I wasn't really sure what the politicians had to gain by acting in that manner at the time I wrote about it, but it was extremely clear to anyone watching that this was becoming a foregone conclusion, where there was a pantomime being created and the majors were being cast as the villains, like it or not. When the consequent report from that investigation came out, shock horror, it absolutely pasted the majors, castigated them, and made a number of key suggestions to the UK government about what the government itself should do. The most prominent suggestion in the report was that the UK competition watchdog, the Independent Competition and Markets Authority, or CMA, as you mentioned, Louise, that the CMA investigate the power of the majors in the UK. That was the suggestion, that the government enlists the CMA to investigate the power of the majors in the UK. And then last month, the government, we've got a Conservative government in the UK, who ideologically, it's fair to say, would be more in favour, typically more in favour of an industry self-regulating than them stepping in and making any legislative change to an industry. The government responded to that major damning report, and the tone of the response was very much sort of kick the can down the road, work it out amongst yourselves. There was a clear reluctance on the part of the UK government to enact any legislation that would arbitrarily harm the majors and their business. However, as part of the government response, the government suggested that the CMA should make up its own mind whether to launch a market study into the UK streaming situation. So the government was very hands off, but it did leave the door open for the CMA to launch its own study. And the CMA has teeth. It can change markets. It can force people to sell assets. It can change the way that people are paid. So to recap, because I know it gets a bit complicated, and I'm doing my best to keep it simple. A major label bashing bunch of politicians in the UK wrote this report saying the major labels have too much money, too much power. And the UK government wrote back saying, thanks very much for that report. All very nice. But don't expect us to pull down any guillotine on the perfectly legal market activity anytime soon. So that's how it was left until earlier this week on Monday, when the CMA announced that it was indeed launching its own unilateral market study into the UK music industry. And following all of the context I've talked about here, it appears clear, at least to me, that the major record companies are, as we put in a headline, bound to be feeling the heat. Now, this feeling of anti-major label politicking in the UK hasn't just come from the story I've mentioned, because as all of this has been playing out this year, as the UK politicians have been poking the major record companies at every turn, something else has also been taking place. The CMA, I'll go back to the supposedly independent UK competition watchdog, has been separately investigating Sony Music's acquisition of the distribution and services company AWOL. Sony bought that company, AWOL, famously in the industry from Cobalt Music Group in Q1, January, February, I think, for $430 million. So the CMA investigation into that deal could feasibly end with Sony being forced to sell off or even close AWOL, should the CMA deem the deal as having given Sony too much additional market power. Interestingly, when the CMA, supposedly independent CMA, made the announcement that it was investigating the Sony AWOL deal, it openly applauded that other major bashing report. It was called the DCMS Committee Report. We don't need to get into all the acronyms. But the CMA, which is supposed to be independent and unbiased, openly applauded that in its announcement. To my mind, that clearly calls into question whether or not the CMA is also starting from a position of seeing the majors as the pantomime villain, but through the lens of investigating Sony and AWOL. And that idea is perhaps compounded by the fact that Sony Music's acquisition of AWOL hasn't caused any such competition concerns in the EU or indeed in the United States. So in conclusion, the easy way to put it, the major record companies, Sony in particular, what with the AWOL thing going on as well, are really getting it in the neck in the UK right now.
Our second story this week focuses on songwriters and the money they're paid by streaming services in the United States. Tim, please explain why this issue has reared its head and why Spotify once again finds itself in the firing line.
Oh, good. Another complicated topic. I know that I spoke at length, perhaps too much length, in the first part of this podcast, so I'll do this as quickly and succinctly as I can. So in the United States, every few years, there's a rate setting board of three judges called the Copyright Royalty Board, or CRB, and they hear evidence from both songwriters and music publishers and also from digital services. And after doing so, the CRB sets a statutory rate that determines how much songwriters get paid in the United States from streaming platforms. Unsurprisingly, songwriters and publishers argue for more money. Digital services typically argue they should be paying out less money. The last CRB rate setting, known as CRB3, set the rates from 2018 to 2022. And that rate ended up, after all of the arguing and all the argy-bargy, it ended up at 15.1% of a streaming services revenue. That would be the proportion going to songwriters, 15.1%. But that decision, the 15.1% decision by the CRB, is currently being appealed by the likes of Spotify and Amazon. But what's happening right now is proceedings to determine the new CRB rate, so-called CRB4, are getting underway in the US. And this will decide what songwriters get paid from the likes of Spotify from 2023 through to 2027. So another 5-year period, this time in the future. And according to the National Music Publishers Association, or NMPA, and this is a claim, we haven't yet seen the evidence, it is a claim, the digital services, the likes of Spotify, Google, Apple and others, are proposing, quote, the lowest royalty rates in history for songwriters.
Let's say that at some point, songwriters do actually get a pay rise from streaming in terms of the royalties they receive. There appears to be some fierce debate out there as to where that money should come from.
Yes, this is the crux of the big debate between music publishers and songwriters and the digital services. The digital services have argued and will continue to argue that they're taking around 30% or so of the revenue that is paid into streaming. You know, that's what they're keeping, around 30%. The rest they're paying out to the music industry, the 70% or so. And the digital services will claim and argue that the 30% is the proportion of money they need to run a healthy business. Any less, give or take a percentage or two, but any less, they'll argue that they'll be unable to run a healthy business and certainly unable to do so profitably. And that argument is backed up to a degree when we look at Spotify, which, for example, has never posted an annual profit and has always posted an annual loss to this point in time. Now, we've said songwriters are getting, quote, screwed by streaming on this podcast. So let's back that up for a second. Simple mathematics. If the streaming services are keeping around 30% of the money that they're generating and a further 15 or 15.1 or whatever it may be around that ballpark is going out to songwriters, you know, that's 45% in total. Approximately, that means that more than half the money is being paid elsewhere. And wait for it, that's going to record companies and the artists signed to record companies as well as distributors. It's going to the recorded part of the music industry. The argument from the digital services is that if songwriters deserve to be paid more from streaming, and pretty much everyone in the industry seems to agree that they do, then that money should be moved over from the record company's share. The record company's getting more than half. Let's move some of that over to the songwriters. Interestingly enough, this point of view has some support from the world of songwriting and publishing itself. Merck Mercuriadis, who I mentioned on last week's Talking Trends, I'm mentioning this week, I'm sure we're going to mention him many times again. He's the founder of Hypnosis, which is now a serious player in the blockbuster music world and backed by Blackstone, of course, as we discussed 7 days ago. Merck continues to make the same argument as, or a very similar argument to the digital services, that record companies are earning too much from streaming, in his view, and Hypnosis's view, and that they should be sacrificing some of that wealth to the music publishing and songwriting part of the industry. Merck also controversially makes the accusation that the major music companies, Universal, Sony and Warner, are disincentivized to move the money from the recorded part of the business to the publishing and songwriter part of the business because their major publishing arms, Universal, Sony and Warner's publishing arms, keep less profit, keep less margin in the companies than their recorded music arms do. Now, the NMPA, the National Music Publishers Association, who I mentioned earlier, isn't having much truck with any of these arguments that you've just heard, whether it be Merck's or the digital services, because the NMPA is keeping its eye on one goal and one goal only, and that is to get the likes of Spotify, Google and Apple to pay more money to songwriters through the CRB process. David Israelite, the head of the NMPA, on a podcast interview with me earlier this week, made the point that the likes of Amazon and Apple can, quote, clearly afford to pay more money through to songwriters without the record companies having to give up any of their pie. He even said it was, quote, preposterous to suggest the digital services companies can't afford to do so. All things considered, we can expect a vibrant tussle to break out between the digital services and the music publishers in the weeks and months ahead of this new CRB trial. And we could also expect the major record companies in particular to get dragged into the debate.
Music Business Worldwide's Talking Trends will be back next week with more insight into today's global music industry. If you like this episode, subscribe to Talking Trends by searching for Music Business Worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Thank you for your time.